The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's terrific, totally transcending, too much to take in Tuesday as we fire up our faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, of course, is love. First up, we examine what acceptance is in the kingdom of God. And no, it is not accepting sinful lifestyles or sinful activities. Next, we challenge one another regarding the blessings of the Old Testament as we meditate on the four benefits that come from Genesis to Malachi. And finally, we take a closer look at judgment. Can we judge? Do we judge? And what does God say if we don't judge? The truth will surprise you.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. You're thinking, well, how much more could there be, Dave? After the show, with about a minute to go yesterday, the power went out in the station. Okay, that's number one. Number two, if you notice any noise in the background, those are called fans. And you might be thinking, oh, Dave's got a lot of people that really like the show. Wrong kind of fan. That's right. These are the kind. Thank you very much. These are the kind of fans that make air move around and around. Why? Because the air conditioning is off where? In this part of the station, in the studio. So if you can, I know, it's just unbelievable. So if you can hear it really bad, text me. If it's not really bad, ignore it. It's better than me doing it from the house, and we are moving forward. So text me if it's too bad. If you can't tell the difference, text me. And if you know the actual account number for $1 million that doesn't belong to anybody, text me on that too, or call in. Either way.
Yeah, call in.
Call in. Call in. We'll take that call on the side. Here we go. We're asking you, of course, what you think. What do you think in regards to any of the things that we talk about? Plus, we do trivia, praise reports, prayer requests, any kind of pop question. In fact, we're answering a pop question today, and probably on Friday we'll be answering a pop question regarding Revelation chapter 3. We're trying to get them all in. It's not easy because you get a lot of requests. We do the best we can, but let's start off with a simple trivia just to make it fun for everybody who's listening. What it actually should say who or whom, but who, what Bible character said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." Now, we should all be saying that, but which Bible character said that in the Bible? Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. After all, our air conditioning is out in the studio. I think that proves that. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple things to tell you right off the bat. All right, here we go. I'm going to do a favor for a friend. So we have a good friend of the show, Eric. He writes in every so often, asks us pop questions. So he asked me some Yiddish questions. So I just thought I'd start this off by giving a few Yiddish definitions. You want that? Yiddish definitions. You can use these anywhere you go. Anywhere you go, you can use these, and you will seem like you know another language, even if you don't. First of all, have you ever heard the expression bubby? Bubby is the Yiddish word for grandmother. So if you ever hear, oh, there's my booby. That's my booby. That's grandmother. So for those that are trying to figure out the family tree in that, that's kind of how that works. And for those that don't know, Zadie is the word for grandfather. So booby is grandmother, and Zadie is grandfather. But the one you really want to know is this one. Bupkis. You ever heard that word, bupkis? People are like, that's bupkis. What does that mean? The word bupkis means nothing. No, seriously. This is one of the Yiddish words you can use when, for example, you want to emphasize that you or other people know zip, nada, zilch about a subject matter. You would simply say, I know bupkis. I don't know bupkis about bupkis from bupkis. Wherever you can use the word for nothing, you can use the word bupkis. So the next time somebody asks you how much you know, let's say about how outer space dust penetrates radiation hulls in regards to certain metallurgies, you can just say, I don't know bupkis. There you go. Is that a good one? That's pretty good.
I like that. Bupkis.
Bupkis. That's right.
I'm using that.
And you can use that all the time. And it doesn't even matter. People can get mad. You can go, sorry, I don't know bupkis. What do you know, Dave? Bupkis. That's what I know. At least it's an answer. That's all I got to say. All right. So the trivia question that is on the board, pretty simple, is which Bible character said, here am I, send me. And yes, you should be saying that too. Let's get into our first little teach. I want to talk because this is going to be a fascinating doing this through the fan scenario. Okay. Here we go. Romans chapter 15, verse 7, as the paper goes flying off the desk. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. The phrase, accept as you have been accepted. Guess what this means? It's the Greek word proslumbodon. Proslumbodo. Okay? I can't say that very well. Let me try it again. Proslumbodo. Bumdo. There it is. And this means this. You know what it means to accept somebody? Watch this. This is going to blow your mind. It doesn't mean pass over their sins. It doesn't mean ignore any. It doesn't even mean any of that. It means, get this, to grant access into one's heart. So all these words and all these phrases, and they use them all the time, like either in the media or, you know, on the internet or even in classes or at work or whatever. You know, you just got to accept me, man. You just got to accept me. It doesn't even mean what they say it means when it's talking about it in the Bible. I'm just telling you right now. It's like, no, that's not correct. No. So here it is. When you're talking about to accept, it means you're granting access into one's heart. So let me give you a perfect definition here, or a perfect illustration of this definition. I'll be talking to you about something, and I'll share with you something on faith that comes from Scripture. And you go, man, that I got to use that. I got to make that a part of my life. That's what acceptance is. Scripturally. So when the Scripture says accept one another, that is not this I accept a lifestyle mentality. That's you saying to another person, I grant you access into my heart and into my life so we can be engaged with one another. That's what Jesus did for us. Oh, and that's what we're supposed to do with our brothers and sisters. You get that difference? So here's the deal. As a Christian, we're washed in the blood with grace, with mercy, and with love. And even though we're washed in the blood with grace, mercy, and love, as you can tell, God doesn't give you a whole lot of space to go on sinning without being challenged. I mean, when I sin, and I'm good at it, by the way, I'm a pro. When I have a pro edition, right? This is the premium edition, right? But when I do it, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit comes along and goes, hey, knucklehead. And then somewhere, I don't know from where, but somewhere instead of a 2x4, somehow it's a 2x6. I don't know if that's because of my nose or what, but bam! And the Lord goes, stop that. He still accepts me, but he, in accepting me, makes it so that I don't get away with stuff. You see, acceptance isn't a license to blanket sin. Acceptance is an activity that's to the glory of God in which you say, I want this inside of me. I want this to be a part of me. And when you're saying it to a person, by the way, you're giving great, great access, great, great commitment, great, great love. And then you start to get a little bit of a handle on how what it means to love one another and thereby identify as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You accept other believers into your heart. Do they have to exactly think like you? No. Do they have to exactly speak like you? No. Do they have to exactly look like you? No. But at the core of it, because they have genuinely said yes to Jesus Christ, because they have said yes to their Heavenly Father, because they have said yes to the influence and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because you share one dad, you are blood relatives, and you drink from the same divine fountain, that's what makes you give access your heart to another believer. And it's like, oh, it's those things. Yes. It's not whether or not you wear gym shoes or boots or whatever, okay? It's just, or sandals, whatever. Doesn't, none of that has anything to do with anything anywhere. It's 12 tribes, one Israel. Some of the tribes are doing some things. Other tribes are doing other things. Guess what? When it's time for war, it's one Israel. Everybody gets together. Everybody defends. Everybody helps defend one another. Everybody defends one another, takes care of one another, provides for one another, protects one another. It's something to do with, like, love. Principle that Scripture uses, okay? So listen to that. I want you to hear that phrase because we're going to talk about judgment in the third and fourth segment. Listen to that phrase. To grant access into one's heart. You, watch this. This is so cool. You have been given or granted access into the heart of God. Oh, like really? I am privileged. Yes. And you extend that same to other people who are of the faith with you. People say, well, you should just accept everybody the way they are. I do not accept a mass murderer thinking that what he is doing is a great thing. Sorry, not happening. Not, that's just not, that's just silly. Okay? All right. Who in the Bible said, here am I, send me, that would be our good friend Izzy, or also known as Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Going to take a short break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, he reached down.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to make sure everybody stays on top of everything as good as possible. And by that, we mean if you want to text us, you can do so at 214-210-8483. We've got several texts this morning, this afternoon ready. And by the way, never stop doing that. I'd rather have 1,000 texts. Not that I would get to all of them, but I mean, I'd rather have 1,000 texts than not. So never, ever, oh, there's too many texts. No, there's not. That's like when people say, the Lord's too busy to hear my prayer. No, he's not. Just stop that. Okay? Stop. 214-210-8483. I love hearing from people throughout the show. It's fun. It makes the show fun for me. Also, if you're going to call in, 972-445-0770. I do need to remind a few people because they always call the other number. They leave a message and they go, I was supposed to call the other number. It's so funny that it's like they keep doing that. What do you think? Anything we can do about that? Probably not.
I don't know. But
there is no answer for that. See, Terrific T is right there. She's willing to help. By the way, I do want to give a point out and a shout out to both T and to Jennifer for making sure the studio was as cool as possible and everything goes as flawless as possible. Jennifer did a great job setting it up, telling me ahead of time, and they worked together, and the two of them are just a great team. So I just appreciate that. So
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll pay you your $5 later. Okay, let's get...
You're too kind.
Okay. Here's the next trivia question. You thought I forgot. I did not. Here we go. What are the books in the Bible named after women? Boom. What are the books in the Bible named after women? And yes, they are there. So find them. 214-210-8483. Also, 972-445-0770 if you're going to call in. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Got a lot of cool stuff on there. There is the kitchen sink. Not one person has commented about the kitchen sink. I find that amazing. Plans for a Battlestar, plus all these other videos, audios, and different things throughout the site, plus information for my speaking engagement, which is 2 weeks from Sunday. But you can also listen online through Facebook or YouTube, or you can come and visit. That's fine. Either way, that's all good. Don't forget, you can also give. That's a big part of things because in our situation, we need giving to be giving. Thank you for those that give. We appreciate it. For those that can't give and want to give, we bless you and thank you for that. For those that are thinking, should I give? Should I give? Here's an answer. Yes. Okay. Just do the best you can. I'm just giving you a hard time because it's fun. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Ready? We got some history today. Yeah, I got
Let's
a good
do the history.
I got a good one. I mean, I got one really bizarre one and then some funny ones. Today is National Tape Measure Day, which you have to respect that, right? You have to.
Because yes,
I mean, right. You have to know, right? Yeah. All right. Shark Awareness Day. That's just classic. It's Shark Awareness Day. It has a huge impact on me right here in the overall Texas, North Texas area. Just a lot of land sharks. Anyhow, and then it's National Macaroni and Cheese Day. I mean, come on. Mac and cheese. That's a winner. I like that mac and cheese. This day in 1881, Billy the Kid was shot. I don't know. The guy got shot. You think they wrote down right down the day, right down the hour? I don't know. I don't know if they did that or not. Sometimes I wonder about some of these things. First racehorse to win $1 million. Citation was the first racehorse to win $1 million on this day in total earnings. And then two other really cool things. Number one, and remember, my brother-in-law works with JPL. He helped write the code for the Mars rover that landed on Mars and went through. So he's a space guy. You know, one of those guys. So on this day in 1965, Mariner 4 took the first close-up photos of Mars. So I thought, oh, that's kind of nice. And this is the one that I find this stuff just amazing. 1969 on this day, the Treasury Department discontinued the bills, the currencies of, and I don't know if you knew this or not, a 500, a 1,000, a 5,000, and a $10,000 bill. So for all of us who know what Benjamins are, right? You know what a Benjamin is. They used to have a $500 bill, a $1,000 bill, a $5,000 bill, and a $10,000 bill. Wow.
I wonder what made them stop that.
I got to go low usage because probably, I mean, in my lifetime of almost, you know, closing on 59 years, I just, I think I've seen a $500 before when I was in my earlier days. I've never seen an actual $10,000. I mean, can you imagine?
I know. Just imagine giving change back to a $10,000.
You are a genius. I was just thinking, you go into Jack in the Box, you go, I want two tacos, I want a soda, and I want some onion rings. And then you come up to the guy, and you give him a $10,000 bill, and he goes, yeah, you got anything smaller? No.
Nope.
That's just legend, folks. Come on, that's hilarious. All right. All right. What were the name of the books? What are the name of the books in the Bible that are named after women? That's your trivia question that you can either call in or text. Oh, somebody's calling in. I knew that $10,000 one would really throw people off. It's like a $10,000 bill? Like, yeah, I'm gonna pay my water bill with that. I'd like change, please. It's just classic stuff. All right, we got somebody calling in on the trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Excellent.
All right. So you can't hear the fans too much, can you?
No, I can't hear them at all.
Oh,
really.
Perfect. All right, that's great because that makes it a lot cooler in here. Otherwise, that'd be. It's another way to lose weight, but it's not the way I prefer. All right. Talk to me, my friend. There are a couple books in the Bible that have to do with that. They're named after women. Do you know what they are?
Ruth and Esther.
That is correct, sir. You are 100% correct. Excellent job. Very, very good. So let me ask you, I just want to know, did you know it, but then maybe look in the front of the Bible just to make sure?
No, I knew that one.
Oh, man, you are so good. You are fantastic. I love it. Excellent job, my brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay. Love it. It's just awesome. All right. Let's get into our teach because our time is tight, and then we're going into this judgment thing, which you're going to get a little bit of more depth on. Romans 15:4 says this, "For whatever was written in earlier times," listen, this is really important, "was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Let me just repeat it so you can hear it. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Let me just say something real quickly. When you read your Bible and then you walk away and you're just, your face is down and you're depressed, that's how the enemy gets you to think. That's not what God wants you to think. When you read the Old Testament, you should not be sitting there thinking, whoa. If you know you're not doing something and you read it in Scripture, you don't make it about the woesy for you. Bring it to the Lord and go, man, I got to do better, and I can only do that if you help me. Well, that's all you do. You don't make this bigger than it is. You're saved. You just got to say, I'm not doing that stuff. And here we get to see that when you're reading Genesis to Malachi, which I love the Old Testament. I think most of you guys can figure that out. You're not supposed to read the Old Testament and go, wowzer. Oh, the only time I do that is when I read Ezekiel, thinking, what was that guy on? Here is the four things to keep in mind. The Old Testament writing, which Jesus used in his entire ministry, and by the way, he quoted the Septuagint, which was the Greek culture translating the Hebrew Bible. He quoted that 92% of the time, for those that don't understand that different translations are just fine. But here's the, and so find the one that you like, use that, stick with that, go forward in that. But here's the bottom line. It was written for our instruction, so that's good. We get to understand that what was written earlier is to help us, to instruct us. Got it. To help us in perseverance in Scripture. We get that perseverance. We find it in Scripture, so it inspires us and encourages us. And that's that second part, that it's an encouragement. So there's perseverance and encouragement that come from the Scriptures. Watch this. So that we might have hope. When you read the Scriptures, did you know that the end result is supposed to be hope? It's not just about you going, wow, I'm awful. It's about you going, I'm awful, but even though I'm awful, God loves me. He still chose me. He poured his Spirit out on me. He wants me to do better in these areas. Through him, I can do anything, and I'm going forward. That's hope. Hope, a great definition for hope, by the way, is understanding that hope is a better tomorrow. Hope is like, it's not just today, it's a better tomorrow. It's like, ooh, oh, something cool is coming. If you woke up every day and you thought something cool is coming today from God, your life would be 1,000 times better. How about that? That's just reality. And so the Scriptures are written to do something for us. And you don't see anywhere in the Scripture it says, right here, you don't see anything in this part saying that things written in the old time were there to confuse you. Things written in the old time were there to make you go, huh? Things written in the old time were there to just make you depressed and, you know, kick rocks down the street and try and skip rocks on the water. No, 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 no. Things written before time were for our instruction so that through perseverance and encouragement that come in and from the Scripture, we could have hope. Isn't that cool? It's clearly an Old Testament reference. No way to get around that. And through that, you should recognize when you read the Word of God, the Lord is trying to pour into you hope. Isn't that just a... Okay, now I want to read. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Excellent job. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience. Going to take a short break here. Then we're going to come back with judgment discussions. Uh-oh. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a bit.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind, and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love that, just that thinking. God knows every alternate route. Like, oh, wowza. Like, yeah, that's so, that's just wonderful. He's so cool. I mean, just really. Okay, so you know you can reach our show, 214-210-8483. That's the text, 972-445-0770. Here's the next trivia question. Remember, we're going to build them up a little more. Here's the next one. Name the three Bible characters who fasted for 40 days. I'm having so much fun. Am I allowed to have this much fun? Can I? Am I allowed?
Yep. You sure are.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Website, he was increased. And I just want to give a shout out to Joy. Somebody finally looked at the kitchen sink. It's just like, hallelujah. Yeah. Yay! Good job. Website, her and Cordy are just, they're just two sisters who are just fabulous. They're fabulous sisters. Support the ministry. Love them. Love Cordy. Love Joy. They're just great people. Website, hemusincrease.org, hemusincrease.org. There's just stuff there. That's it. You guys should know by now. Email david@hemusincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Before we get to our ministry partner, a thank you to everybody that responded to me in regards to the sound. I got several texts, some people saying, hey, it sounds fine. So thank you for doing that. It's always helpful. And if something doesn't sound right, tell me. It's always good to know. All right, let's talk about our next ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services. The key to this is going to MrRestore.com. If you've got anything going on that needs help, they are there to help you. That's what they do. That's part of their ministry. Would you have to like a ministry that's committed to restoration? Just in and of itself, that's... I just love stuff like that. MrRestore.com. Free evaluation, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB. Thousands of happy customers. We ask you to pray for them, to bless them. And if you got something going on, utilize them. That would be the way to go about it. MrRestore.com. You can also access them through He Must Increase. .org. It's another way to get in touch with them. Okay, so one of our listeners, faithful listeners, asked a question about judging, and I want to get into this judging thing, and you're going to hear probably something that you're not quite used to. I'm not trying to ruin anybody's theology, and I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I can do that, though, all by myself without much difficulty. I just seem to be naturally good at it. But there is a tremendous amount of failure in society and to some degree in the churches when they talk about judging. And so I want to just look at that, and I'm only going into this in a minor level. The deepest level would require an entire hour, just to let you know. But I want to go into the main passage that's misquoted, and then nobody ever seems to talk about it. And so you've heard of the movie The Santa Claus, right? Well, this is called The Missing Clause, only it's got nothing to do with Santa. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, do not judge, so you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So let's just use this because it was Newsweek, it was Time Magazine. I won't even name all the cable people and all of the broadcast media, but all the radio stations, everything that's going around, they had this little mission, and they were trying to tell all the Christians, judge not, judge not. Jesus said, judge not, judge not. And then they stopped there. But see, this is when you say take something out of context. You just say, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. And they skipped the rest of verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5, which is amazing because if you just take bits and pieces of the Bible, you can come up with really weird stuff. For example, a Christmas card you don't want to send are these two passages put together. Judas hung himself. Go and do likewise. So in other words, you don't want to put different verses together that don't go together. You want to keep everything in context. Here's what Jesus said. He said, you are going to be judged by the same standards. Now watch. So if I judge with mercy and honesty and truth and graciousness, I should be fine. In other words, if I judge in a right fashion or a merciful fashion, saying, well, this is really wrong, this is inappropriate, and I don't condemn you, but this behavior is wrong, or whatever the case may be, then what's the real issue or the real problem? Well, that's how the Lord will judge you. That is how he judges us, with mercy, grace, compassion, truth, wisdom. That's exactly how he does it. And see, for some reason, that seems, well, you can't do that. Jesus said, do that. Not, I can't do that. I'm commanded to do that. Jesus said in verse 5, you hypocrite. Clearly, Jesus is talking about hypocritical judgment, when people judge other people but won't do any self-evaluation. They won't look at themselves. They'll look at the log in their brother's eye or their sister's eye, and it does say brothers and sisters. It doesn't talk about the worldly people, just in case you wanted to know. And here it's talking about the log in other people's eyes, and you're not looking at your log in your own eyes and the speck in other people's eyes, and you're looking at their speck, but you're not looking at your log. That's hypocritical. Be honest enough to be self-evaluative and recognize you need mercy, you need grace, you need that. But then verse 5 says, and then you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The problem is people just stop with the do not judge. Here's what we need to get a handle on. This is really important. This is essential. We often say that we're supposed to consult other scripture alongside the passages that are cited. I just saw Robert Jeffers teaching. He made the exact right comment. The best commentator on the Bible is the Bible, not any person. Well, here are other passages that go along with do not judge so you will not be judged. Luke chapter 12, verse 57. And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So here Jesus in Luke and in John tells you how to go about judging, and then in our society, we just say, yeah, you can't do it. It's like, wait, that is not what he said. I understand if you want to take that position. I wouldn't even be mad at you because you didn't want to, you know, step over and do something bad. I would appreciate that. I would respect that. But don't say that Jesus said there's no judgment allowed in any situation, because that is not what he said. What he says is, you hypocrite, take the log out of your own eye, judge yourself, evaluate yourself, do it to the point of scrutiny where you can understand you're as messed up as they come, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In our society, we just stop at the do not judge. That doesn't square away with us having the initiative to judge what is right, Luke 12:57, or to judge not according to appearance, but righteous judgment. Then that would be John 7:24. We're not even discussing the different levels of judgment. You're not allowed to condemn anybody to hell, but you are required to make evaluation, to make a discernment between left and right. It is your responsibility as a mature Christian to evaluate right from wrong. In fact, the scripture says, woe unto them that put light for darkness and darkness for light. So when you see these people on television and in the media trying to promote evil by saying it's good, and then you say that's bad, and they come back and say, oh, well, you judge not, lest ye be judged, they're just using a quip saying you have a responsibility before the Lord, whether they like it or not, to point out the truth. You don't have to be a jerk about it, which people are really good at. Come on, come on, come on. You gotta say one thing about the Christian faith and Christian people. We're good at throwing out our own and throwing out the baby with the bathwater. We're just good at it. I mean, we're masters at it in the sense that we really know how to do it. Here's the part of this that comes together. Evaluate, discern with mercy and grace. I would never, ever officially tell you who to vote for, not just because we're a nonprofit ministry, but because that's not my job. It's your responsibility to engage with the Lord and determine that. But you're going to have to make a decision, a judgment in regards to who you're going to vote for if you decide you're voting at all, which I think you should if it's an afforded right. But you're not – it's the greatest sin in the world not to vote, or it's the greatest sin in the world to vote for Republicans, or it's the greatest sin in the world to vote for Democrats. It's the greatest sin in the world to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because that will send you to hell. All the other ones, not so much. So, I mean, at least keep it in perspective. Be honest about it. Keep it where it needs to be kept. Do your best and evaluate it. Now, unfortunately for you guys, I have another portion of this that is really, it's not mean, but it's snarky, a little. It's a little snarky. We'll get to that. All right, so who are the people, by the way, in the Bible that fasted for 40 days? Who else? It was Moses, it was Elijah, and it was Jesus. Congratulations, everybody that got that right. Excellent job, by the way. So we are going to take our short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
you can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to fight. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach us, 214-210-8483 is the text. 972-445-0770 is the phone number. Here is the last trivia question of the day as we get ready and to get into the wind down. Yeah, we do need 2 hours, but that's besides the point. Here it is. In what book of the Bible? Okay, so there's 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new. In what book of the Bible? Don't use Google. Says, or are the words found, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In what book of the Bible do we find the words, every man did that which was right in his own eyes? The only hint I'll give you, we're not talking Proverbs. Okay? So everybody's going, Proverbs, Proverbs. It's like, no. Okay. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Do not forget to keep our Jennifer and our terrific Tiara in prayer on a regular basis, just like you do for me. I want them to be covered as well. Lots and lots of warfare does go on. Well, you probably don't see it all. And we probably don't share it all, but you can imagine, just like you have it in your life, so we have it in our life. So I do want to talk about this. I want to take this judgment in this next little bit, and I want you to be careful. Although somebody's calling in now, so I'm gonna hold off because we do have somebody calling in with potentially the answer. We want to be very careful. Let's see. I'm stalling on the air, and here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Brother Ace again.
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm doing real good. Thank you. Sun's shining, and it's in my heart, too. So I love everybody.
Amen. That's a great thing. Amen. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, my good friend. Now, in what book of the Bible do we find the words, every man did that which was right in his own eyes?
Well, this is a pure guess, but I'm going to guess Jeremiah. I don't know why.
Okay, so here's the thing. Jeremiah made a very similar statement, but here's what I want you to think, okay? Mm-hmm. After Joshua, but before there was a king, people kind of went on their own. What book
right.
are we having?
You're right. I'm wrong again, though, Mona.
That's all right, my brother. All right, so that's when God appointed a certain level of people. Do you remember what level they were?
No, sir, not a rival fan.
That would be the judges who came along.
Oh, yeah.
The judges.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that phrase, just so you know, in what book of the Bible do we find the words was Judges 17:6? All right, let me give you a real quick bonus. Who was the strongest of all the judges?
It was him.
That is correct, sir. You got it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you don't walk out without a victory on this show, brother. That is the key answer. That's right. Strongest judge ever. Samson. People think it was mythical. It's like, nah. There's a lot of actual archaeological, biblical archaeology to define that, so that's pretty good. All right, good job in there. Good approach, good willing attempt, and good follow-up answer. Excellent job.
Bless you guys. Appreciate you.
All right, God bless, brother. All right. You can't listen to this show and do nothing but win. Okay. Okay. All right. So now we were talking about judging, and I want to be careful here. I got to be super duper duper careful. So I want to say this. I think you guys will catch something that maybe you haven't caught before in Genesis regarding judging. And then once you hear this, tell me if this sounds familiar. Tell me if this sounds familiar, whether it's from other people, other Christians, other groups, whatever. Tell me if it sounds familiar when I read this to you, okay? This is Genesis 18, 4 through 5. Before they went to bed, the men of the city of Sodom, both young and old, the whole population surrounded the house. They called out to Lot and said, "Where are the men who came with you tonight? Send them out to us so we can have sex with them." Verse 7, he said, "Don't do this evil, my brothers." Verse 9, "Get out of the way," they said, adding, "This one came here as a foreigner, and now he's acting like a judge." Okay, and that was the answer, by the way, to the trivia question. Judges, right? And you know what they were saying? You know what they were saying in this situation? When Sodom and Gomorrah was just about to be judged, and the angels came in, right, and they were staying at Lot's house, and then they're like, "Yeah, bring out those guys. We're going to have sex with them. We're going to rape them." And he's like, "Don't do this. This is terrible evil." And then you know what they said? "He's judging us." You see the irony there? How bizarre that is. Have you ever heard that? They're judging us. Yeah, you don't judge us. It's the same false cry. Now look at this. This goes back to Genesis. It's the same line. It's like, wait, what? It's the same thing they used to say. They've said it thousands of years ago. So nothing new in America. Nothing new going on. Nothing new here. Walk along, move along. Why? Because they're still doing this. You're judging us. You're trying to have sex with this guy staying in my house. You don't even know him. You're going to rape him. Yeah, I'm going to call that evil. You're judging us. Yes. Yes. And just so you can know, if you were going to be one of those people that say, "Well, I would have been kind and soft and merciful," God rained down fire and brimstone. So God's judgment is pretty spot on. Like, yep, that's enough of that. And see, this is the thing that I think that escapes a little bit, maybe escapes us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen to this. Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. "Do you not know that the saints of the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life?" And so the idea that you can't judge is exactly the opposite of Scripture. It's simply the method by which you use to judge. And I've said this before, and you've heard it on my little clips, and it should maybe bring a smile to your face. But look, you go out, you work out, you've done a good job, and now you get to your cheat meal and your diet. So I guess you guys know where I'm going with this. And in your cheat meal with your diet, you only have like $6.22. So you're not going to Red Lobster, or you're not going to have steak, or you're not going to do something like that. So it's going to come down to this. In-N-Out, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? Guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to make a judgment on which one you want to go to. That's judgment. That's evaluation. What happens is that we consider the word judging and we just condemn it so far. And yet Scripture says those that are mature are able to discern between what is good and what is evil. Well, how do you do that? How do you discern which is good and which is evil? You use your maturity to make the right judgment. So this is why you hear me say stuff like this. It's like, wait, didn't these guys in Sodom kind of whine about the exact same thing? Here's the deal. The deal is you shouldn't be looking to judge. That's a big fair statement, I think, for Christians that I think Christians should own. You shouldn't be on the hunt to judge. I'm hunting now so I can judge people. It's like, don't do that. You don't do that. What you do is you're looking to put yourself in a position to be merciful and kind and gracious, and you're looking to communicate. But you still have to use evaluative gifts that God has given you. The gift of discernment, by the way, which is a gift that's given to Christians, is essentially the gift to discern what spirit is behind what. Like, yeah. And that could be the one that's lacking the most in the church, and now it's probably more lacking simply because people are afraid to use it, which is not a good thing. Don't look for people to judge, but you can't throw your evaluative gifting that God has given you through His Word and through His Holy Spirit out the door because the social world cries foul. They've been crying foul since sin won. And it's like, that ain't going to fly. That ain't going to work. Okay? All right. All right, so I only got about a minute and a little bit left. A couple things I want to tell you. Please keep us in prayer as we're getting prepared to introduce Philippians as our expository. I think that's Thursday, right? We do Thursday expository. That will be a more mild expository. I was going through some of the notes this morning. They're pretty good. I like them. Some corrections I think I'm going to make on some of them. And then also keep my wife and I in prayer. We always appreciate that as we need to be covered from a safety point of view. And then also the education stuff that I'm going through. I need prayer because I already got my professor a little upset. I misspelled a word. He didn't give me any credit. And I told him I didn't appreciate that. See, I need help too. We all need help. That's what grace is all about, right? Unmerited favor. That's what mercy is all about. Not getting judged where we should get judged, but God instead has mercy. Love that all day long. Excellent show today, and I hope you guys really enjoyed it. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsor.